Okay, so we're gonna unpack some fascinating material today
Yeah.
about Thompson v. Hemphill.
Absolutely.
Looks like we're diving into a classic Louisiana property dispute.
Yeah, definitely a classic
And
case.
it's not just buildings, it looks like even a trailer gets involved.
That's right.
And some underground gasoline
A
tanks.
little bit of everything.
So this isn't just about like who owns what.
Right.
It really touches on how the law tries to balance the rights of neighbors.
Exactly. Finding those fair solutions when things get a little messy,
Yeah, when things encroach.
when those lines get blurred.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we've got some great material to work with, excerpts outlining the case.
Always helpful to have the
A
detail.
standard case brief to give us the structure.
A good framework for analysis.
And you even sent over some specific podcast guidance,
Wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
which is always appreciated.
Of course.
So our mission here
Our goal for this deep dive.
is to cut through the legal complexities of this case and figure out what the key takeaways are for
The
understanding
real-world implications.
property law in Louisiana,
Specifically.
especially this whole idea of pre-dial servitude and how courts deal with structures
Because this is where it gets interesting.
that cross property lines.
Yes, those tricky situations.
So ready to dive in?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
This case, Thompson versus Hemphill.
A classic neighbor dispute.
It really comes down to a dispute between two neighbors, right?
Yeah, it all boils down to that.
And it sounds like the land itself had kind of a history.
Oh, yeah. Bit of a backstory.
Originally owned by a divorced couple
The
who
Hemphills.
each ended up with
Adjacent tracts of land.
right next to each other
But here's the catch.
with some existing shared infrastructure,
From back when they were together.
like a store building
Huh.
and even gasoline facilities.
Which adds a whole other layer of complexity.
Right, so they split up.
The Hemphills go their separate ways.
And then Thompson buys from one of them.
L.H. Hemphill.
And Lamar Hemphill buys from the other.
Alice
And
Hemphill.
that's where things start to get messy.
That shift in ownership sets the stage for the dispute.
Because now you've got new players involved.
And they might have different ideas about those shared structures.
Exactly. And that's where those underground gasoline tanks come in.
A key element of the case.
And some structures that seem to be crossing over the property line.
Encroaching onto Thompson's land.
Right, so Thompson ends up filing a lawsuit.
He takes legal action.
What exactly was he asking the court to do?
Well, he was looking for a few things.
Given the history you just laid out,
Right.
were there any other legal angles he could have considered?
It's always worth exploring different options.
You know, before going straight to court.
Like maybe negotiation or mediation.
Right, trying to find a more amicable solution.
Exactly. But in this case,
Thompson really wanted to enforce his property rights.
he felt his ownership was being infringed upon.
So he sought injunctive relief.
Meaning he wanted the court to order Hemphill to stop certain actions.
Like trespassing and using those encroaching structures.
He wanted to put a stop to it.
And he also wanted damages.
For the alleged trespass.
And even for lost business revenue.
That's where it gets interesting.
And of course, a court order for the removal of those
To
encroachments,
restore his property boundaries.
which included the store building and a trailer that was being used as a workshop.
So multiple structures involved.
So on the other side, how did Hemphill, the defendant, respond to this?
Well, the trial court's initial decision was pretty telling.
Interesting. What did they decide?
They actually granted what's called a pre-dial servitude,
In favor of Hemphill.
even though the structures encroached on Thompson's property.
So they were basically saying,
Hemphill had a right to use those parts of Thompson's land.
even though they technically belong to Thompson.
It's a legal way to allow the use of someone else's property under specific circumstances,
And they granted this for both the store building and the trailer.
which Thompson ultimately appealed.
Okay, so that brings us to the heart of the matter.
The legal issues at play,
The big
the
question
core of the appeal,
was whether the trial court got it right,
by granting those servitudes,
especially for both structures.
the building and the trailer.
Sounds like the appellate court had to really dig into Louisiana law,
Oh, yeah, they had to examine the nuances of the legal framework,
specifically this Louisiana Civil Code Article 670.
which is central to this case.
Because this article
It's all about finding that balance
between strict property rights
and practical solutions.
to these real-world
It's
encroachments.
a common tension in law.
Right, the ideal versus the practical.
And Article 670 lays out a framework.
For when a court can say,
Okay, this encroachment can stay.
by creating a pre-dial servitude.
Giving someone the right to use a portion of their neighbor's land.
So let's break down this Article 670 test.
What are the factors the court considers?
What are those legal touchstones?
The elements they weigh.
to make this decision?
First, they look at the good faith of the person who built the encroaching structure.
So was there a reasonable belief
that they were building on their own land?
Right. Were they intentionally trying to take over their neighbor's property?
Or was it an honest mistake?
And that good faith element.
It's fascinating how that plays out in today's world.
With more sophisticated surveying and construction techniques.
Proving good faith might be a bit trickier now
than it was in the past.
Absolutely.
So what else does the court consider?
They also look at whether the neighbor objected in a timely manner.
So if they waited too long to complain,
that can weaken their case.
Right. You can't just stand by and watch someone build something
and then suddenly demand it be torn down years later.
It seems like there's an element of fairness there.
Absolutely, preventing unnecessary hardship.
So what else is important in this equation?
Well, the extent and impact of the encroachment are crucial.
So is it just a minor overlap?
Or is it a substantial intrusion?
And how much does it actually interfere
with a neighbor's use and enjoyment of their property?
Right. If you can barely tell it's there.
Maybe it's not such a big deal.
But if it's blocking access or creating a real nuisance,
then that's a different story.
Okay. And then the court considers
the permanence of the structure.
So a building foundation
is a lot different from something that can be easily moved.
Like that trailer we talked about.
Exactly.
And how feasible is it to actually remove the encroachment?
That's a practical consideration.
Because sometimes demolition just isn't a realistic option.
It might cause more harm than good.
Right. And finally,
the court has to balance the equities.
Which basically means
what's fair to both parties.
It's not just about the letter of the law.
It's about finding a solution that makes sense.
Given all the circumstances.
Exactly.
So looking at the two encroachments in this case.
The building and the trailer.
How did the court's analysis differ?
This is where it gets really interesting.
Because this was the core of the appeal, right?
Exactly. Thompson challenged the trial court's decision
to grant servitudes for both.
And the appellate court really focused on the distinction between them.
So for the store building,
which slightly encroached onto Thompson's land,
the court found that it was a permanent structure.
It had been there for a while.
And importantly,
it was likely built in good faith.
Possibly even dating back to when the Hemphills owned both properties.
Right before the divorce and subsequent sales.
So given its permanence.
And the potential hardship of tearing it down.
For such a minor overlap.
The appellate court agreed with the trial court.
To grant a pre-dial servitude.
Allowing Hemphill continued use of that small portion of land.
It just makes sense.
It's about finding practical solutions.
When a long-standing minor issue
would cause a huge disruption if you tried to fix it.
Right. It's not worth tearing down a whole building
for a few inches of encroachment.
Especially if it was built in good faith.
Exactly.
But the trailer was a different story.
A very different story.
That distinction between permanence and movability.
It's really key here.
It makes you think about how we define property.
In a legal sense.
When something can be picked up and moved.
It changes the whole equation.
So the court drew a clear line.
Between the building and the trailer.
They noted that the trailer,
described as an old truck body on a concrete slab or blocks,
wasn't really a permanent building.
Not in the same way as the store.
The key point.
There was evidence suggesting
it wasn't permanently attached.
And could be moved without a lot of expense.
It wasn't like tearing down a foundation.
Right. This was a much simpler fix.
And the court also pointed out
that the trailer's encroachment was substantial.
At least half of it was on Thompson's property.
So it wasn't just a minor overlap.
This was a significant portion of the structure.
And that degree of encroachment.
It's a major factor in the court's decision. So because it wasn't permanent.
And could be moved relatively easily.
The appellate court felt that granting a servitude was too much.
They were much less willing to burden Thompson's land permanently.
For something that could be relocated?
They explicitly stated that granting a servitude in this situation
would be an abuse of the trial court's discretion because it would be burdening Thompson's property.
In a significant way.
For an indefinite period of time.
And as the case highlights,
ample space existed to relocate it.
On Hemphill's own property.
So they basically said,
just move the trailer.
You have room on your own land.
It's not fair to force Thompson to accommodate it.
And this really underscores the importance
of that permanence factor.
And the feasibility of removal in the court's analysis under Article 670.
They're hesitant to create servitudes.
For easily movable structures.
Especially when the encroachment is significant.
Now, there was also that secondary issue.
Involving the underground gasoline tanks.
Which adds another layer of complexity.
Absolutely.
To this whole property dispute.
It's a reminder that property law can get pretty intricate.
So what happened with those tanks?
Well, it turned out that Hemphill owned them.
as part of his purchase of the land.
And Thompson had initially gotten a temporary restraining order
to prevent Hemphill from interfering with his use of the tanks.
Which seems reasonable on the surface.
But the appellate court found that the TRO was wrongfully issued.
Because Thompson didn't actually own the tanks.
And had no legal right to use them.
It's a fundamental principle in property law.
You can't dictate how someone uses something
if you don't own it.
Even if it's on your property.
Right. Ownership is key.
And that had implications for the damages, right?
It did.
If Thompson didn't have a right to the tanks.
He couldn't claim damages for not being able to use them.
Exactly. So the court reversed the damages
that Thompson had received for the alleged wrongful issuance of the TRO.
Because he didn't have a valid claim.
But they did uphold a small award.
Of $200 for damage to Thompson's fence.
Based on the evidence presented.
So they really scrutinized each claim for damages.
Making sure there was a legal basis for each one.
So to sum up the court's ruling.
In a nutshell.
The servitude for the building was upheld.
But the servitude for the trailer was reversed.
And the damages related to the gas tanks were reversed.
While the fence damage award stood.
It's a nuanced decision.
Very specific to the facts of the case.
Dealing with each aspect of the encroachment separately.
That's a good observation.
It really shows how the court carefully considered
each specific element
and the underlying property rights.
They weren't just applying a blanket rule.
They were looking at the details
and weighing the equities in each situation.
So this case really demonstrates
that preference for finding equitable solutions
for good faith, permanent building encroachment.
Right. They want to avoid unnecessary demolition.
If it can be resolved fairly.
But it also sets a clear limit.
When it comes to less permanent structures.
That can be reasonably relocated.
Like that trailer.
Exactly.
So what are the big takeaways here?
What can we learn from Thompson v. Hemphill?
Especially for someone studying property law in Louisiana.
What are the key principles at play?
Well, first, it reinforces the idea
that Louisiana courts will try to be fair.
They'll try to find those equitable solutions
to avoid harsh outcomes.
Like demolishing a structure
that was built in good faith.
Especially if it's been there a while.
But it's not a free pass.
The good faith of the encroacher.
How quickly the neighbor objected.
The nature and permanence of the encroachment.
All these factors are critical.
It shows that the law respects property rights.
But it also considers fairness and practicality.
It's about finding that balance.
Exactly.
And the difference between a foundation and a trailer.
Huge difference in the eyes of the court.
Right. It really comes down to permanence.
And the ability to remedy the situation.
Without extreme measures.
And second,
this case emphasizes that timely objections matter.
If you see something happening on your property,
you need to speak up.
The sooner the better.
Because if you wait too long,
the court might be less sympathetic.
They might say.
You had your chance to object.
And you didn't.
So now you have to live with it.
And finally.
The issue with the gasoline tanks.
That's a clear reminder.
That ownership is fundamental.
You can't claim damages for something you don't own.
Even if it seems unfair.
It's a basic principle of property law.
But this case illustrates it perfectly.
So what does this all mean for you?
For those listening and learning about property law.
Thompson v. Hemphill gives us a clear picture.
Of how Louisiana courts handle these tricky property line disputes.
We saw how good faith,
timely objections,
and the nature of the encroachment
all play crucial roles in the court's decision.
The fact that they are willing to grant a servitude for the building
to avoid demolition,
but not for the trailer,
highlights that balancing act
between respecting property rights
and finding equitable solutions.
And that little side story about the gas tanks.
It's a good reminder.
That ownership is key
when it comes to legal remedies.
So here's a question to ponder.
As you continue your exploration of the law,
in today's world,
with increasingly dense development
and complex property arrangements,
how do you think these principles
of good faith,
timely objections,
and the nature of the encroachment
might play out in new kinds of disputes?
Maybe involving things like solar panels,
shared driveways,
or even underground utilities.
It's a changing landscape.
With new challenges emerging.
And it definitely gives you something to think about.
As you delve deeper into the world of law.
Absolutely. There's always more to learn.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure unpacking this case with you.
Until next time.
Keep exploring.